Let me ask you to open your Bible, if you would, to Acts chapter 8. As Stephen said, we've been reading through Acts, and I'm going to come to that in just a moment, but I want to talk about something else before I come to Acts 8, because last week we looked at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Well, I need to communicate with you today about something that's difficult to communicate with you about, because it's about communication. And so we're going to talk today about God speaking to us, but I want to talk about communication because that's part of what it is. Communication is never ending. Communication is going on in this room right now, not just from me to you, but everybody, don't pull it out, but unless you already have it out for your scripture, but your phone is communicating right now. You say, well, I'm not sending any messages. It's communicating with Google, Apple, and the national government, probably collecting every bit of information from you, right? It's nonstop communication. And if you're about to go to college and you think, hey, maybe I would want to major in communication, there's all different kinds of communication majors, right? There's speech communication, there's corporate communication, there's digital communication, lots of different kinds of communication that are happening. But I want to talk to you because one of my minors when I went to college was speech communication. And I took a class called interpersonal communication. It's quite an interesting class, and I have a little diagram for you up here of interpersonal communication. And I can tell you right now that the first thing you're going to notice is that this communication is already going to be very, very difficult. Why? Because it's a man and a woman trying to communicate with one another, right? So it's already difficult, right? But there's a few elements that are involved in communication. There is the person who sends the message. There's the person who receives the message, and that's the part that we normally know about. But there's also the message itself that goes, and there's also the medium by which it goes. So you get a text message, the medium is digital, right? It comes to your phone. If I'm speaking, that's a different kind of thing. Visual communication that happens. All these kind of communications happen. And you'll notice that the person who sends the message has to encode the message. So you decide you want to communicate, you have to encode the message. How do you encode the message? Well, it depends on if you're writing or speaking. I encode messages in a language called English, right? Well, it's kind of Texan English, whatever, right? But specifically, it's Southern English. And then you receive a message and you have to decode the message. If you're from another country, just like we're talking about with our group on Monday night, that's difficult to decode that message, right? And to make sure what I'm trying to communicate is what you are hearing. In fact, we saw that just a moment ago. Lucas got up and he was reading a scripture and he got to a word and he's like, I don't know how to pronounce this. Sheol, that's how you pronounce it, Lucas, wherever you are. But he was close, but he was doing, why was that difficult for him? What's his first language? Okay, I'm glad you said Portuguese, not Brazilian. There's no Brazilian language. Portuguese, right? And so as he's reading, it's being communicated to him in a written form. He's trying to communicate to us verbally, but he's trying to process through that. And not only that, to make it difficult enough, there's also all kinds of noise that happens when you're trying to communicate with somebody else. There's physical noise. So I live in a community where I go walking and running, and I'm usually listening to podcasts, but I live very, very close to a train track. And so I'm out walking and running, and a train starts to come by, I just hit pause. Or I tap my ear is what I do. I pause it, right? Because there's physical noise, and I'm not even going to be able to hear what's being said on that podcast. There's psychological noise. This is what makes communication so difficult. You ever notice that sometimes you can say something to somebody one day, they take it just fine, you say the same thing another day, and they get offended? Yeah. That ever happened to you? If you're married, the answer is that has happened to you, right? You say, well, I don't understand. Yesterday you were fine with this, today you're not. Why? Because there are psychological things that are happening the whole time, right? And so every one of us is involved in this. And then there's also linguistic noise that happens. You say, different languages, people define terms differently. This is part of the problem with debates that happen a lot of times, as people are defining terms differently and they're talking past one another because there's this linguistic noise. So all of this noise happening, it's a wonder that we communicate at all, right? And communication is difficult. But what about when God communicates with us? I want to suggest to you that we still have a lot of noise going on when God communicates to us. And we're still trying to decode in some ways what God's, even as we read the scripture, we're trying to decode, it's already been translated for us, thank the Lord for great scholars, right? From Greek and Hebrew. So there's some decoding that happens there. Now you're trying to decode, you're trying to understand the words that are on the page, and you're trying to say, what is God saying to me here? But I want to talk about not just reading scripture, but God speaking to us, period. And I want to make some observations from the book of Acts, and we're not just going to be in Acts 8. I'm going to make some observations from a lot of places in Acts today, and a lot of them I'm just going to point out, but I want to start in Acts chapter 8. I want to start in verse 26. It says, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go to the south. So Philip's being communicated with, right? There's communication that's happening from an angel. Said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Man, that's really specific, isn't it? Not just, hey, I want you to kind of wander around, Philip. He said, I want you to go specifically toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Philip was the first person to have a GPS, right? Says, there is a desert place. And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. So he is now being communicated from the prophet Isaiah, from the scroll of Isaiah. It says, and the Spirit said to Philip. So now the second time Philip's being communicated with, the Spirit now says to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. And Philip asked him, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this. Just so happens the Ethiopian, right, is reading, like a lamb he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? And Philip is thinking, are you kidding me? Like, you're asking me that question? And so Philip now opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. Now, I want to stop there. So notice what has happened here. Philip has been communicated by an angel with the Holy Spirit. And now Philip is able to communicate because of what he previously has studied and learned from the scripture. He now knows how to respond to this guy and share with him the gospel. And the result of that we see in the very next verse. And as they were going on the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? He commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went his own way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus as he passed through, and he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Now this is just one piece of history that we get in the book of Acts of what happened here with Philip and the eunuch. But what I really want us to do is to notice that there is communication happening from God to Philip, from an angel, from the Holy Spirit, and then Philip is being used by God to communicate to the eunuch the message of the gospel itself. And what I want to point out from the book of Acts is this. There's a little different sermon. We're not going to just stay here in Acts 8. This is not the only time we see someone responding to what they understand the voice of the Lord to be to them in the book of Acts. Let me point out a few places to you. In Acts chapter 9, verse 10, you can write these down. I'm not going to read these, but you can write these down. In Acts chapter 9, verse 10, God speaks to Ananias in a vision with a specific task of where to go and who to find. He was to go and find. In Acts chapter 10, he was to go and find the apostle Peter. In Acts chapter 10, Cornelius has a vision. I'm sorry, he was to find the apostle Saul, who would become Paul. This is the Ananias after Saul had been converted. Cornelius, in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius has a vision of an angel of God speaking to him about Peter. So Cornelius now, who is not one of the apostles, has a vision of an angel speaking. In Acts chapter 10, verse 9, Peter has a vision, and this is where the sheet is let down with the animals, and he says, I'm not going to eat that, it's unclean. God says, don't call anything unclean that I have declared clean. And Peter sees that vision, and then, of course, Peter and Cornelius end up meeting up because God orchestrates all of that. In Acts chapter 13, at the church at Antioch, they are praying, and while they are praying, and I will read this one specifically, it says, the Holy Spirit, this is the elders who were praying together, says, the Holy Spirit said, so they heard from the Holy Spirit somehow, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And that's exactly what they did. They prayed, they laid hands on Barnabas and Saul, and they sent them off. And this was Saul, who became Paul. This is his first missionary journey that he was commissioned to go on in Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 15, after they met at the Jerusalem Council, and they had met and they had heard from different people, they wrote back to Antioch, and they said, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. So the apostles, the elders of the church there, the church seemed to have this communication that this is what the Holy Spirit wants in the decision that they made. In Acts chapter 16, verse 9, a vision Paul had in the middle of the night of a man crying out, come over and help us. And Paul responds to that vision. And if you think all the way back to John chapter 10, when Jesus is teaching, in verse 27, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I want to say to you, this includes all sheep. There's no special hotline to the person who wears the microphone on Sunday morning. This is for all of God's sheep. You can hear his voice. Romans chapter 8 talks about us walking or living according to the Spirit. How are we to do that if we're not hearing from God? How would we possibly walk or live according to the Spirit? What I want to say to you is that it's consistent in the Bible that through the Holy Spirit, God speaks to his people and God leads his people. Does God speak to you? Does God lead you? You see, unfortunately, there is within the church as a whole, this past week I was listening to a few different people, reading a few different people, and there's a whole group of people that say this, God has spoken in his word. You should not expect to hear from God except in his word. And I want to say, baloney. How would it be that God throughout the Old Testament speaks to people, leads people? Throughout the New Testament, he speaks to people, he leads people. I just pointed out about 8 or 9 instances just in the book of Acts alone that God is speaking to people and leading people. And not only in the Old Testament was it prophesied that in the last days your sons and your daughters, right, that they would have dreams and visions and God would lead them. And then on the day of Pentecost, when Peter gets up to speak, he says, this is being fulfilled today in your sight, that in the last days, I want to suggest to you that we are still in the last days. They began at Pentecost and they continue until Jesus comes back. It would make no sense that the last days would have ended after about 100 years and then there would be thousands of years later. How's that the last days if they're thousands of years later? But there are some, and some of them are good Christian people and commentators, and some of them, I read their stuff all the time, but they think that God doesn't speak outside of the Bible anymore. But we talk about a personal relationship with God, amen? And a personal relationship involves communication. Both ways. It involves us communicating. The good thing is God doesn't have difficulties in decoding our messages, does he? Because he sees to the heart. And in fact, you can send false messages and God decodes your false messages, right? But sometimes we have difficulty. We have difficulty because of emotional things that we carry around. because of noise around us, because of all those kinds of things. But personal relationship implies communication. I love A.W. Tozer, who pastored long before and commentated long before, says this. He says, the one who does not expect God to speak will discount every single time that God does speak. That if we don't expect Him to speak, we're going to hear and say, that couldn't have been God. That must have just been my thoughts. That must have just been me. That must have been something else. Now, let me make this very clear. God will not contradict His Word. I do not think God is going to communicate to you something new about God that we don't already know from His Word. I don't think that's going to happen. I think the communication that we see in the book of Acts is God moving and leading and speaking to His people about the specific way that they are to fulfill His mission. It was always about, you go here, you communicate with this person, right? I'm going to send somebody to you. You listen to them. It was always about the spread of the gospel. And I think God communicates it to us, but He will not contradict His Word. Your word from God is not the Bible. You say, I got a word from God. Your word from God is not the Bible. You got to test it to see if it's truly from God. Because it may be from God. It may be from something emotional that happened in your life. It may be a bad burrito that you ate at 2 a.m. this morning, right? I don't know what your word from God is from, but it's to always be tested. That's why in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, it says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are of God. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, Paul commends the Bereans, and it says that they were more noble than others because they daily checked the Scripture to see if what Paul said was correct. Paul, the apostle, says, they checked me. And I say this every time I talk about that verse. You need to check me. If the apostle Paul needs to be checked, I need to be checked. And he's saying they checked to see if this was actually true. I love Dallas Willard in his book, Hearing God, says it this way very plainly and very directly. The content of a word that is truly from God will always conform to and be consistent with the truths about God's nature and kingdom that are made clear in the Bible. Any content or claim that does not conform to biblical content is not a word from God, period. End quote. But the question becomes, well, then who does God speak to? To whom does God speak? I want to suggest a few things to you about those to whom God speaks. As I pointed out all these observations through Acts, there's a few things that became clear, I think, to me, and from the Old Testament, by the way. God seems to speak primarily to those who are seeking Him. He seems to speak primarily to those who are seeking Him. Now, there are occasions where God speaks to people that aren't seeking Him. And by the way, you don't want that communication from God. It's usually not good news. But God is speaking primarily to those who are seeking Him. I'm going to read these verses for you. I've put them up there, but you may not have time to turn there. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10, God says, for thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans. Oh, that sounds familiar, right? We quote this verse all the time. Well, He was actually saying it to them. And by the way, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you. That was 70 years down the road. And He was telling them clearly, that's going to happen later. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I've driven you, speaking to the nation of Israel, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. But you notice He says, you will seek for me, you will find me when you seek for me with all of your heart. And God's saying, I'm going to listen to you. There are other places we can read in the old prophets who say, God says, I'm not listening to you anymore. And it seems that God is speaking to those who are seeking Him. Secondly, God seems to speak primarily to those who are serving Him throughout the Bible. He speaks to those who are serving Him. Almost all the times we see God speaking, they're already involved in serving Him. Moses, David, Samuel, the prophets, the apostles, Paul, all these throughout the Scripture that we see them saying, God spoke to me, God said this. There are people that are there. Even when we see Cornelius, it says he's a God-fearing man who worshiped God and gave lots of money to help out those who were poor. He was already trying to serve God to the best of his ability. And God seems to speak primarily to those who are serving him. And the third thing I find from the book of Acts, God seems to speak primarily to those who are praying together. And I want to put an emphasis on the word together. Throughout the book of Acts, we see people gathering together. Acts chapter 1, verse 14 through chapter 2, the day of Pentecost happens. What were they doing when the day of Pentecost showed up? Come on, Bible scholars, you know. What were they doing before? They were gathered together and praying. Jesus told them to go and wait, and they were gathered together and praying. And Acts chapter 2, verse 42, when it kind of summarizes what happened right after the day of Pentecost, said all the believers, they'd committed themselves together for four things, and one of those things was praying. They committed to praying together. Acts chapter 4, verse 23, the believers are gathered together because Peter and John have been arrested, and they have gathered together. The church is praying together, and then they get released. They come back, and they meet together in that room, and that's when they all gather together. And they said, and Peter says, hey, they threatened us. They told us not to preach anymore in this name. And they gather together, and they pray. And what do they pray? Lord, you've heard their threats. Now give us boldness to share your word. Stretch out your hand to perform mighty works. They're praying for boldness together. Acts chapter 13, the Holy Spirit spoke to these elders, these leaders in the church, when they gathered together to pray, and that's when they were told, you set apart Paul and Barnabas for the work to which I have called them. They're gathered together. And Acts chapter 15, when they said the Holy Spirit, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us, they had gathered together to meet and to consider this. And the assumption is that they were praying together also as they were considering the answer to the church there in Antioch. So God speaks to those who are seeking him. He speaks to those primarily who are serving him. He speaks to those who are gathering together to pray together. I want to suggest to you that possibly you're not hearing from the Lord because you're not doing those things. Let's have a prayer meeting. How many people show up? Not many. Now, if you think, oh, he's talking about me, everybody else in here kind of feels the same way right now. Because not many will show up when we say, let's gather together and just pray. And it's seeking, and what happens is, in our desire for fast food and everything to be fast, here's what we've done. We've said, okay, God speaks clearly through his word. God speaks in Old Testament through the prophets, in New Testament through Jesus, obviously. In these last days, he's spoken to us through his son, Jesus Christ. He speaks through the apostles. He speaks through the Bible. He speaks through the church when they're gathered together, when they're praying, and when they're ministering to one another. He speaks through that. And what many of us want to do is you want to circumvent the whole process and say, God, would you just tell me who I'm going to marry? God, would you just tell me where I'm supposed to go to school? God, would you just tell me what job I'm supposed to have? And I want to suggest to you that God's not interested in just speaking to you so that you can get some suggestions from God about what you might decide to do. He's not in the suggestion business. But I do think God wants to speak to those who say, I want to seek you, God, and I want to serve you, and I do want to hear from you. And, Lord, I'm going to seek through your word to hear from you also so that my mind is saturated with your word. And I want to just encourage you, quit trying to hear from God when you're not willing to serve. And you're not willing to seek him. And you're not willing to get into the word of God to hear what he has already said to us. And I find that those people there did those things. So I've got some suggestions for you today for 21st century Christians on how to hear God. Some suggestions for you. Number one, eliminate noise. Eliminate noise. Remember our illustration at the beginning, all this noise is happening, and psychological noise and physical noise and all of that. What I mean by that is turn off the TV, set your phone down, Get a real Bible. No, I'm just kidding. It's real. It's real on the phone too. But get a paper cut. Get something. Quit some of the noise that's going on around you. But what a lot of us do is we don't want to eliminate the noise. We just keep saying, God, yell louder so I can hear you. So I can hear you over all of this noise. And listen, God can break in over all the noise. And I suggest to you again, that's not the way you want to hear from God when he breaks in over all the noise. But eliminate the noise. And imagine for a moment, if you would, that I said, boy, I wish my wife and I had more time that we could spend together. And we got to talk more and just spend more time together. And I say that to you, but then I'm not willing to eliminate anything from my life, any of my hobbies, any shows that I'm watching, any of my time scanning news or any of that. I'm not willing to eliminate any of that to actually spend time with my wife. You would probably look and say, you're a liar, right? Because I would be. And I think sometimes we're that way with God. We say, well, we want to hear from God. But we're not willing to eliminate the noise that exists in our life. I don't know what that noise is for you. I know it's noise in my life. But you got to figure out, what is the noise that's keeping me from, maybe we're talking about reading 5 chapters a week. Maybe you're not even reading 5 chapters a week. You say, I don't have time, but you want to hear from God, right? Well, read what he said and eliminate the noise. Secondly, goes along and kind of follows right into that, hear God in Scripture. Hear God in Scripture. Make sure that you understand the mission the way that God says, this is my mission. See, God in the past spoke through the prophets and recently in his Son. Shouldn't we want to hear what he has said in these ways? Shouldn't we want to hear what he said through the prophets, through his Son, through the apostles? Shouldn't we want to make sure that that our mission is on track? I will tell you this. There are many churches, and not just churches, there are many organizations who say, oh, well, this is what God's called us to. And I want to tell you, many times it doesn't line up with the Word of God. And I would say, they didn't hear from God. They just got something that they want to do. Something that they're interested in. And so you got to make sure you're hearing from God in Scripture. Because everything that God does say to you, and I believe God will speak to you through the Holy Spirit, through different ways, God will speak to you, but it's got to line up with his mission and his purposes according to the Word. I've heard people say, well, God told me to leave my family. Okay? I'm not sure where you got that out of here. So let me get this going. I've got to move quickly. Third, gather and pray with other people seeking to hear from and follow God. Gather with other people and pray with them seeking to hear from and follow God. Let me tell you, say, well, I want to hear from God. Maybe you've got some other group you're a part of, but if you're not willing to jump into a life group and gather with some other people who are trying to seek God together, then maybe you don't really want to hear from the Lord. You say, well, I'm just going to stand back here and hear by myself. But notice in Acts, they're always together, right? They're always working together, praying together, seeking the Lord together. And there's an important part for every one of our lives to have devotional life on our own, but it's important that we gather with other people. Not just like this, but times that you are conversing with other people. What is God saying to you? How's God speaking in your life? And allow other people to have that input into your life. Fourth, pursue God and his work. Pursue God and his work. Talk to any mature Christian and they will tell you there's ways that God speaks to you as you are ministering that don't happen any other way. Things that God teaches you about yourself, things that God shows you, things that God can even speak in that. That's why I tell everybody, you say, well, I don't know where to serve. Just pick a place and jump in. It may not be the place that you land permanently, but start showing, Lord, I want to serve you. And it might be that you're there for 2 or 3 weeks in that spot, and listen, we're okay with that. And you say, you know what, this isn't the spot, but as I've been serving here, I realize here's the place that I'm supposed to serve the Lord. But you're probably not going to hear it watching reruns again or binge watching on Netflix. You're probably not going to get that message that way. So jump in and start to serve. Pursue God and his work. Fifth, I want to tell you, respond to what you believe is the Holy Spirit's leading. You need to respond to that. One of the ways that I would ask you, and again, you got to know the Word of God to know the answer to this. I would ask you, if you sense that the Holy Spirit's leading you to do something, ask the question, is this the kind of thing that Jesus would do? You say, well, I don't know if it's the Holy Spirit. I don't know if maybe it's bad influences on me. Let me tell you, Satan's not going to encourage you to do the kind of things Jesus would do. That's not from him. Is this something that God is leading me to do? Is this the kind of thing that Jesus would do? I loved years ago, and our teenagers, sorry, y'all like weren't even alive when this kind of went as fad. Everybody wore these bracelets, WWJD. I know you got them now, but like that's not the fad quite as much anymore. What does that say? What would Jesus do? And a lot of people wore those. What would Jesus do? Well, they really didn't know what Jesus did to begin with. So they couldn't answer the question, what would Jesus do right now? Because they don't even know what Jesus did before, right? And so respond in what you think maybe the Holy Spirit's leading, but respond saying, is this the kind of thing Jesus would do? And respond in faith in that. And then the sixth thing I want to tell you is this, the last one. Quit circumventing the process. Quit trying to hear from God without wanting to be close to God. Without wanting to follow Him. Again, I want to suggest to you, He's not in the suggestion business. And when we read, and a few years ago we went through kind of themes of the Old Testament prophets, and we read in that, God is not interested in people who just want to come and feel like we're doing our religious thing and then we're just going to go live our life however we want to live it and ignore what God has already told us to do. And those are the places where God says, close the doors, stop offering sacrifices, I'm not even listening to you anymore. So quit circumventing the process saying, God, show me where my blessing is. And say, God, I'm here to serve you. I am your servant. And I would suggest to you that when you begin serving God, you begin seeking God, when you begin gathering with other people, I think the Holy Spirit will lead you. I'm convinced that God is not a silent God. That He is the God who speaks. God spoke the world into existence. Genesis chapter 1. Jesus and John is compared to what? John chapter 1. In the beginning was what? The Word. He is a communicating God. And I think God has communicated the truth about who He is and the gospel message itself here. But I think just like the apostles and just like those people in Acts, we need direction from the Holy Spirit in our everyday life of who I'm supposed to go and talk to, which ministry I'm supposed to go and do. And I believe God wants to show you that. But you got to listen. You got to put yourself in the position to hear from Him. I've been praying all week, Lord, speak to us. Lord, speak to me. Communicate clearly to us. Stephen got up and talked about this Christmas 76123. God, speak to me. What's my role in that? Where would I best use my gifts, Lord? And what are you calling me to be a part of that? We talked about ESL. God, speak to me. Is this something, if you have this unction that I feel like I need to be involved in that, then don't ignore that. Come and be involved in that. There may be some other area that God is saying, and you just feel like all the time, you say, I know I ought to, I know I ought to, I know I ought to. It's the Lord speaking to you, moving within your heart, because the Holy Spirit resides within you. Now obey and experience the blessing of obeying God and being in the middle of His will. The blessing that allows people, even in the midst of persecution, to say, Lord, you've heard their threats. Now enable us, God, to speak your word with great boldness. Would you pray with me this morning? Holy Spirit, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we don't want to come to you for suggestions. We want to come to hear your will. And then, Lord, we need power to obey and follow your will. God, we listen for you. We listen for your will and your ways, your character, Lord, from your word. But God, we're not deists. We don't believe that you just left us now to figure it all out. We believe you still speak to us today. And I'm praying, Lord, for those who are here this morning, for those who are watching online, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts about what you have for us today. Lord, that you would put within us clarity, that you would move us, Lord, in who we are to speak to, Lord, and those that you desire for us to pour out our time, our efforts, our energy, Lord, our love. Lord, the opportunities to do that, Lord. Lord, we know it's not to everybody in Fort Worth because we don't have that time. So each of us today, who it is we're to do that with today. Lord, we want to hear from you. Lord, we desire to see the gospel movement and the conversions just like they did in Acts. Lord, how desperately we need that. But it's got to come from your leadership, from your movement. So we pray again, speak to us today. Communicate to us, Lord, where we sit right now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.